I personally really don't care what you think. We're going to go live with the show now. Oh, hey.
Oh.
Whoops.
Who are you talking to? You talking to me?
No. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Welcome to the show, guys. I don't know who you're talking to. Are we on?
We are on. We are live. We are.
Good Lord.
Yep. All right, folks. Welcome. Here we go. One, two, three.
Are we back? Are we on live again? Keith, are we live? Can you hear me?
Yeah, the video replayed. I don't know why it replayed. I'm having some issues on my
side. Oh, my God. Okay, this is what happens. This is what happens when we're running on low fumes here. Keith, switch us up.
We are bare bones.
Switch us up, because I can't be on this right side and you're on my left. It's weird. There it is. Thank you. I appreciate that. That works better. Welcome, everyone, to the Put It in the Book show, the only Mets broadcast and podcast and video and whatever you want to do, podcast, whatever it is, however you feel like. Oh, no, it's Farachi already. Oh, God. I can't even get through the intro without this guy talking.
Yeah, we are Farachi-less and producer Joe-less today.
We're down to 50% staff here. I don't know what's going on with this COVIDers down here, but they're just like, I'm not saying they have it. I didn't say that. I'm just guessing. It's an educated guess, right, Keith?
That's right.
Okay. So we're Farachi-less and we are producer Joe-less. Yeah, we are. Okay. I'm just checking because you don't know. He could be creeping around inside these walls sometimes.
It could also
we
be
don't know, Keith.
It could also be, you know, addition through subtraction.
Hey, you know what? Let's not throw any jabs at anybody. Let's just be nice. Farachi started by saying yo, yo, yo. That's it. We'll talk bad about him later on. We'll have a whole show to talk bad about him.
Yes, we do. But speaking of addition through subtraction, let's talk a little bit about some Brooklyn Water Coffee Roasters.com
from that.
Your roastery to your front door. Only the finest beans are hand selected, and I mean hand selected. He goes there and he picks each bean out one by one and fills up these big sacks. He spends months in Ethiopia getting
years, beans
to you. Years.
Errors.
Brooklyn Water Coffee Roasters.com. Check them out. Tons of delicious flavors out there. This show's all-time favorite, of course, is dark roast dark chocolate. It's a dark, chocolatey, delicious flavored coffee. Has a lot of chocolate in it, so you got to watch how much you drink, right, Rodriguez? How much? There's a calorie counter, right? What's the calories?
Zero, papa, zero.
Oh, yeah, four cups. Run through a wall and even burn calories. BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com.
We don't promote violence or any physical harm to anyone.
So I was thinking more like through a wall. Guy. He was always happy, but, you know, he ran through a wall.
He was so high, that guy. He was so high.
He really was.
You could tell.
BrooklynWaterCoffeeRoasters.com, from their roastery to your front door. And what I mean by addition through subtraction, use the code POPCULTUREPROS, all capital letters, and you get your third bag free. Buy two, get your third bag free. There's a ton of flavors out there. You try that third flavor on us, on the Put It In A Book show, using the code POPCULTUREPROS. www.brooklynwatercoffeeroasters.com. Only the finest beans are hand-selected for you, and they're guaranteed to roast within 24 hours of its ship date. Worth the try. Check them out.
Wow. Check it out. Wow. That's great news, Keith. We thank you for that informative commercial promotion. Informative. Something like that. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, welcome everyone to the Put It In The Book show, the Mets podcast. Well, we talk about Mets. We don't talk about the Knicks. Right, Keith? We do not talk about the Knicks.
This is a baseball Mets
this
podcast
show? This is a
show?
Baseball Mets podcast show. Absolutely. That's what I hear. So, welcome everyone. If you don't know, we are Farachi-less. We're missing two of our four hosts here. We're missing producer Joe, who's out there gallivanting, having a good time, as he always does. And Farachi, who's out there trying to grow hair. I don't know what he's doing. What do you think he's doing, Keith?
Right now? Yeah, I think he's probably putting some hair Hair Club for Men products on his head, baking, sticking his head in the oven, kind of like, remember the Shrinky Dinks?
Yeah, just closing the oven. His wife closes the oven real hard.
Yeah. See what helps.
We love you, Farachi. No, we really don't. Anyway, we love the Mets. Honestly, we just love the Mets. We're Mets fans through and through, 100%. Even Farachi and producer Joe will agree to that, no matter how lazy and bummy they are out there sleeping, not doing the show. Thank you for nothing, guys. Anyway, we'll take it from here.
The Keith right there.
The guy, the big man right there. And myself, I'll try to carry a little bit of load here, see what we can do. So anyway, we are going to talk about the Mets. We're going to talk about the first half. We're going to grade the first half, okay? Steve at the pool. Steve, you know Terzio? He's probably in his toilet bowl trying to fit himself in there. He doesn't know what a pool is. He's from New York. He's from Canarsie. Canarsie guys, you know, I don't know about them. They're not the brightest brightest New Yorkers. Keith, am I right?
That's right. I wasn't even sure what you said because I was reading what Farachi says about K-Cups. So I got totally distracted.
Oh, we forgot to talk about the K-Cups for the broken. You know what? You got little K-Cups that you can put in at your coffee. So order them as K-Cups. They're fantastic. They work just as well as ground coffee, even though we like the bags, Keith, right? Remember the bags we used to, you know, that little coffee anus that we used to smell? It smelled pretty good.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Coffee fart.
Used to squeeze it out, and the coffee fart, it would fart, and we'd be like, oh, it smells pretty good. That's a nice little fart. Wake us up in the morning. However, you can have the K-Cups, Farachi. All right, let's not talk about the whole show about a commercial. Let's talk about the Mets. First half grade up for the Mets. What are we talking about, Keith? Let's start real quick. Let's run through this. Catcher. What do you think our grade is there? Where are we at?
I have to go overall in the position, not by player, because it's been so much transition. I'm gonna say a C plus, and it's only C plus because there's been some outstanding defense behind the plate. Offense is lacking tremendously.
You know what? That unbelievably, that's a really fair assessment, Keith. I'm very proud of you. I really am. That's a really fair assessment.
I'm level.
You didn't do a Farachi on me and say something stupid that pisses me off. That's really good. I would say a C plus. Yeah, I'd say a B minus. The offense is lacking, but as far as calling games, look, he doesn't even know how to speak. He only knows how to type one word at a time. Even they call a great defensive game. They call a great game. They play very good defense. They throw runners out. They hold runners on. They do everything that's needed to be done as a catching unit. Both of our guys, you know, who we have, McCant and Nito, the blood sucker from another planet. So we have those two guys. They do a pretty good job. So I'd say C plus. I'm good with that, Keith. Let's talk about first base.
I'm gonna go with a solid A. With solid. Our boy Pete Alonso up there. I mean, his defense has been improving. He makes some mistakes, but he's been making some outstanding plays. And, you know, obviously his offense is bar none, one of the top first basemen in baseball. So he's a solid A.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even if he's a solid A as an offensive player, which he kind of really is, he's a solid A. He's definitely an A plus on effort alone. The kid busts his butt to do whatever play needs to be done. He'll run into the crowd. He'll run backwards. He'll slide. He'll stretch. He does everything you want from a first baseman as far as effort goes. And he's playing solid defensively. When you have Dominic Smith in there, it's smooth as all heck. You have JD Davis, who came up with a magnificent play the other day. If he can play third base, he can play first base. And I tell you that from experience. Trust me, he can play first base if he can play third base. Yep. The problem with JD Davis was, you know, a little bit of his getting rushed and everything. But at first base, he has to wait. So that's just the way it runs. You just have to wait. So I'm saying a solid A, solid A. I mean,
Farachi,
honestly, I can even give it an A plus. Yeah, good.
A plus.
Farachi. Mind your business. We're not talking about you.
I don't know why I held back an A plus. I don't want to be too generous, but I wouldn't argue if you said A plus.
It's definitely a solid A, and if you want to be nice about it, like I really want to be nice about it, it's an A plus for me because the guys that are coming in are doing a really good job as fill-ins. And that's the only reason I give him a plus.
Like LL
on his own, Alonzo.
Doing it well.
Yeah. There it is. If we had a producer, we could get that song going right now. But, you know,
right, he would give we're
50% capacity. Yeah, exactly. So, okay, first base, second base. What do you think about second base? We have a couple of guys there.
Second place. Second base is
Second base.
I'm a little conflicted between a B minus and a B. I mean, Guillermo's defense has me leaning to a solid B. And the reason why I say B is he is one of the best defensive second basemen I've seen in a while on our team, at least. His offense is okay. He's not really rounded offensively. So he altogether, he's a definitely a solid B. And most of that B comes from his glove. I mean, he's beautiful in the field. The way he turns that double play, I mean, wow. He's coming to his own.
So yeah, I would say a B plus on second base, and I'll say a B plus because you have the defensive wizardry of Mr. Guillorme. Who's fantastic around the bases. He's also hitting 300, so he's not a slacker. In the days of yore,
and he runs
a 300 hitting second baseman who plays defense like he does would have been an all-star every single year. And I think he's the Mets filling all-star Guillorme, because he can play every position in the infield and play it well defensively, and he's hitting 300. And then you have McNeil, whose offense just speaks for itself at second base. And he's a good second baseman. I think he's a better outfielder, but we'll talk about him in a few minutes about him in the outfield. But a solid B plus, I think, for second base, honestly, because these two guys are some pretty good players.
And I didn't really include McNeil in that only because he's played a lot there.
So
he has played. And real quick, Farachi's on that. He gave an A-. He included McNeil like you did, which I think is also a fair assessment. Seems like we're all within the ballpark of each other.
We're all kind of in the same ballpark pretty much, you know.
Joe must know where everybody is.
Believe it. Where's everybody? Joe, I don't know, Joe. Where are you? You're there. Don't worry about everybody else. Where are you? Okay, let's talk about shortstop. What do you think about our $30 million shortstop?
Ooh. So my personal opinion is he also is a solid A, and I sound like I'm being generous, but I had my little complaints about some of his defense in the beginning of the year, but he has turned it around. He has been playing Gold Glove caliber shortstop, and the guy is a run producer. Everybody looks at this 240, 230 average, and they cry and complain. The guy is a run producer. He has, 16 home runs, 60-some-odd RBIs at the midway point of the season. Amazing. What a great, great year he's having.
I can't agree more, okay? We have 69 games left for the year, okay? The kid is projected to basically hit 30 home runs, driving almost 100 runs. And that's what a guy who's hitting third does. Let's not forget about the fact that he's offensively talented, okay, as a shortstop. And he's not a big guy. He's a small guy, but he produces a lot of bat speed. He uses his whole body, produces a lot of bat speed and drives that ball all the time. Sometimes you don't have to drive. Sometimes you just got to hit the opposite field and you still get a hit. So with all that, like top-notch defensive second base shortstop, because at the end of the day, when he goes in the hole and he throws this guy out, this guy, I didn't believe that he had that type of an arm. But the other day, remember that throw from the deep in the hole where he just sat there and threw a missile at first base? Fantastic arm, great range, excellent offensive player. Keith, I give him a solid A. Right now, the only thing that may look negative in a sense would be his batting average. But at the end of the day, the way they count players now, it doesn't even matter. And at the end of the day, his defensive prowess makes up for whatever batting average he has. That's why Rey Ordóñez used to play, okay? Because He was great defensive player.
Amazing.
And Lindor is a really good offensive player and a really good defensive player. So we're solid there for the next 10 years. Let's pray on that. Remember that, guys.
Before we go third base real quick, let's just go to the chat, if you don't mind. Just want to throw Terzio out there. He threw an A plus. And our very own Steve Ferracci, he gave an F at shortstop. He gave an A to Lindor, but he plays shortstop, so really it's an F. It's not an A. It's an F.
It's an F to Ferracci. It's an F to Ferracci, not to Lindor.
He forgot, or maybe he forgot the A after the T to make it fat ass. I'm not sure. What
he forgot to spell the rest of his name.
Yeah. Okay. Third base.
Let's go to third base. You know, let's talk about this young Escobar guy. I mean, he's like, I don't know. He makes it happy. He makes it sad. There's no in between with this guy. You're kind of on edge a little bit. You know, at least that's the way I've been feeling about him. Now he's starting to pick up his power, so he's starting to hit more. But to be honest, defensive plays at third base, he's been fairly solid. He's made some really good ones.
He's
made a couple of dumb mistakes, but let's be real here. You know,
but we're Mets fans.
90
so we
games,
watch
you're
going to
make
plays.
A couple of mistakes.
We watch. Right? So he has so many attempts because we're Mets fans. So we watch every single play almost that he handles. So, of course, you're going to see a bonehead play, and of course that stands out more. But let's talk about that play he made right before the All-Star break where he pivoted off the bag and threw it to first base on the fly while turning and nailed the runner. So, you know, the guy, I won't call him a whiz at third base, and I won't call him above average. He's somewhere in between that. He's really good, like you said.
I agree. And him being, I think, defensively, he's a B-plus type of player. Defensively and offensively, I give him a solid B because he can hit for power and he can hit for average, but he's a streaky type of guy. So you have to suck that up a little bit. Sometimes you just have to say, you know, it is what it is. I'm going to wait for him to get on a hitting streak and wait for him to get on a power streak and play that. And he gives you solid defense. So I'm thinking if anything, the lowest grade I could give third base would be C+, but I'm really leaning towards the B. Because I'm bringing in J.D. Davis, who can fill in, and he's a solid player at third base. Guillorme, who can fill in, and he's a solid player at third base. So overall, I think we still get a B. And I'm thinking our infield defense, which has changed a lot. Remember how bad we were? Remember, Lars, the fundies. How many times were you freaking out about the fundies? We talked about it in our chats. We talked about it at work. You know, whatever. We'd even talk about it on the show. You used to freak out. I know I did.
No, I hate it. And that circles back to management stuff, which we'll get to. But, yeah, it's the team is definitely a different approach. And I think our best infield is Escobar, Lindor, Guillermo, and Alonso.
Guillermo and Alonso, right.
Yeah.
Really want to go full defense, I would swap out Alonso and bring in Smith if I'm going full D, because he's still with the Mets right now. That's all I'm saying.
I think that could change real quick. I think Alonso's been pretty damn good at first base. I'm not sure how much of a different level he is.
I think Smith is still this tiny bit better if I'm really thinking about it. He's a right-handed guy. I think he's just smoother around first base. Listen, It's nitpicking. It's just my choice. Anybody else, you could put Alonso there, and I'm perfectly fine with that. So I think our overall infield defense, including the catchers, is a solid B. And that hasn't been there for a while.
What is with this color? Oh, look, when I do this, it changes. Look.
Yeah, because you got something blue on. You're like...
It's the blue screen.
I think I'm losing them, folks. I gotta reel them back in real quick. I think he's losing focus.
Is weird. Like,
okay, let's quick.
I feel like Donald Trump after a tanning salon or something.
Except he's got a little bit more hair than you. Just a smidge.
Yeah, that he does. I'm not sure how real it is. But he might dance better than me too.
Outfielder?
Whatever that thing he does. Anyway, yeah. So
let's not get derailed here.
You said a B for third base, right?
Yeah, I'm saying a B for third base overall. I don't think there's any position in the infield that's bad.
I'm going to go. It's tough because he is producing, but his streakiness kills me. He's coming on, him being Escobar, he's coming on since, you know, the week or two before the All-Star break. But I'm going to go with a B-. And Farachi's going with a C.
Of course he is. Because he played third base for our softball team. Let's not talk about that. Okay, let's just forget about that.
Well, it's not a show.
Hey, let's move on.
Since he's not a show, let's get into it.
I'm not going to say anything. It is a baseball show. You know what? It was baseball. Farachi, I hate you. Anyway, let's go to the outfield. What do you think about our left field?
I think that's
Don Smith, Terzio. We're not talking about Don Smith. We're talking about the outfield, okay? Relax. We know.
I think left field is our Brian Hahn, Achilles heel.
Kana and McNeil.
So we're going to start in left field. Yeah, Kana and McNeil. I'm definitely going a solid B+.
B+.
Yeah, I was gonna say A-. I'm going B+. I mean, Kana's been solid. McNeil is an all-star.
Don Smith is F. Yes, we know.
That was an accident. I hit the button. B+. I mean, I'll go A- if Kana starts hitting a little bit more power. But the defense out there between Kana and McNeil has been really, really solid. McNeil, of course, is McNeil. He's hitting exactly the way a Met fan should want to hit. Kanha, I would expect just a little bit more power, but he's been really good. He's been taking pitches, running pitch counts. He's doing his job. I don't have any true arguments or complaints against him. If I had to say one thing, I would like to see a couple more home runs, but, you know.
I've been impressed with him. He's very good at the plate. He's very
selective.
Selective, very studious type of guy at the plate. He's doing a good job at the plate. Like I said, he's not hitting home runs, but it doesn't matter as long as he's getting on base. That's the big thing, on base percentage. He's playing good defense in left field, and so is McNeil, who they keep switching on and off. I mean, solid B at the worst. Solid B. You could push to a B+, a lower A or whatever, but a little bit more pop would be nice from left field. But at the end of the day, it's all about getting on base and these guys getting on base. So if you're moving from left field right over to center, we are talking about
Mr. Healthy.
No, Nimmo. Sorry.
Yeah, Mr. Healthy.
I made that mistake. My bad. Mr. Healthy. Mr. I've never played a full season. Oh, gosh. Let's just talk about the fact that Nimmo has been playing most of the season.
And before he's been putting up Nimmo, the numbers. Frank calls Dom Smith an F. I'm not sure if he's covered that yet. Yeah, I mean, right.
Terzio, he doesn't like Smith. I know. Well, he doesn't like Smith. He doesn't like another catcher called McCant. I think he doesn't like McCant. For what? Anyway, let's focus on Nimmo. What a job he's done this year. Playing good defense. He's positioned better to utilize his ways of playing defense. Let's just say that way.
His defense has been outstanding.
His defense has been really good because he's been playing way back and he's coming in on balls instead of going back. Okay. Sometimes some players can do that better than others, and they figured out that Nimmo can. So they've improved the defense tremendously. If he stays on the field, he can put up the numbers, and he's putting up the numbers. He's a 6'2" strong kid. From wherever he's from, Utah, Omaha, Nebraska,
Wyoming,
Wyoming. He's putting up the stats and getting on base at a really good clip. I think at center field we're solid, and whoever we bring in behind him, Khalil Lee, the blonde kid, what is this, Sabowski? I forget his name now. What's the guy that we just
brought back from
Jankowski. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So he's the fourth outfielder, and he plays great defense. So we have a very good right now. We have a pretty good left field, pretty good center field. We're covered defensively, and we go back to right field. And right field, we have
Jeff Spicoli.
Jeff Spicoli. Okay.
Right field, we have Sterling Marte, an all-star. The guy has been a rock star coming in. I didn't give my Brendan Nimmo grade. Brendan Nimmo, I'm giving a B plus.
B plus. I was gonna give him an A.
Only reason why I'm giving him B plus is because I think he can be doing a little bit better on his on base percentage. It's solid. He's around 360, better than a lot of players, but he's a 400 on base guy, and he's not doing what he can do this year.
You know, so 400 on base is exceptional, right? It's not the norm. It's not he's a 400 on base guy, consistent. And he should be there.
He's been doing it pretty consistent, that 400 on base percentage. So,
or play close a full to season, it might go down to 360. Give him a break.
I think he's going to go up. I think he'll be fine. But that's just my grade midseason right now.
You sound like Karachi. Doodle, Mr. Doodle Milk.
Anyway, where in right field?
And you're Sterling Marte. Sterling Marte for me. I got to say he's a solid A. Guy's batting close to 300. He's got 9 home runs. He's got 41 RBIs. Did you know that? He's producing too. 41 or 45, whatever it may be. He's doing a great, great job.
I can't agree with you more. I cannot agree with you more. I don't know what this show is all about. Love today, because we are agreeing to basically on everything. But I'll tell you, Marte changed my mind. I told you guys in the past, I didn't want him on the team. I didn't think he was an A-plus player. I'm watching him all the time, watching him play and what he brings to the table, offensively and defensively, and I didn't know he had an arm like that. He has a really good arm. I can see him being a right fielder.
Since Verracci's not on, can I say it? I told you guys you would love him. I told you guys he was great. I told you guys we should get him. I told you guys Joe likes coffee anuses. That's what Farachi would say right now.
Joe loves coffee anus. That's his pet name, coffee anus. That's his pass. That's his secret passcode when he's like had enough. Coffee anus.
He spelled coffee wrong. Was it the AW?
Let's not. We did. Let's say we did, and we're not talking about coffee anymore. listen, dude. Sterling Marte, all-star. That's all that needs to be said. He's an A. Yeah. A right field, we're covered. A. And with Sebastian Janikowski, whatever his name is. I don't even know what his name is. I forget.
Spicoli.
Blonde. Spicoli. With Spicoli running around the outfield, I think we're covered. So, overall in the outfield, a solid B as far as defense goes. A solid B as far as infield goes. Catching, we're at a C. But that's only because we want a little bit more offense from the guys.
Right.
So, if we're talking about our pitching staff, our starting staff, let's just say this real quick. Our starting staff, when these guys are on and they're pitching, I'll say this right now. It's sort of a solid A, because any one of these guys can go into the seventh inning with a one hitter or a two hitter and make the other team look foolish. Every single starter that we have, even the guy that's going to lose his job because when I don't even want to say his name. I don't even want to do that whole – because if I say his name one or three times, maybe he'll get hurt. I don't even know how these things work anymore. But when that guy comes back and you have him, Mad Max, Chris Bassett, Yai Wan, as we like to say, and Peterson.
That's
a good staff, dude.
It is a good staff. But let me ask you something. This is from the cuff. We didn't plan to get into this, but it is a valid question. Do we go to a 6-man rotation with Peterson when DeGrom comes back to keep the little fragile guy and the old guy fresh?
I would say 100% yes. However, I would say yes for a couple of reasons. One, we have veterans. We have Mad Max. We have Cy Grom. We have Bassett. These guys are in their 30s. You know, Yai Wan hasn't pitched a lot of innings. He's still he's still on the comeback trail. Peterson is still a young guy who hasn't pitched that many innings. I don't see the harm in going and let it become a 6-man rotation.
Yeah, I don't see either. And then when Tyler comes back, you can put him in a bullpen and spot start.
Tyler is a perfect guy to back up Lugie. Okay, Tyler's the guy that can come in and give you 2 or 3 innings on any given day and give you quality innings, especially the way he's up his mile per hour thing. But it's got to be a little bit controlled because I think that's what put him on the DL in the first place, on the IL.
Once he's healthy, we may have to give him the Traxel treatment, send him down to AAA to kind of regain his confidence.
Well, no, I don't think it's confidence. I think he was hurt. I think he was actually feeling uncomfortable and he wasn't able to pitch. The confidence is up there because he was throwing really hard and he was getting people out. And when he was able to pitch, he was dominant. Okay, so I think his confidence is okay. But you're right, he should get at least a start or two or a few innings down in the minors just to keep him warmed up, and then bring him up to the majors and give him a sporadic middle relief. Give him a couple of innings every two or three games. I think that'll keep him fresh and keep him strong. But
yeah,
starting wise, I can't give our staff anything less than a B plus, and only because Scherzer and DeGrom haven't really been there for the last month. That should give, I should have to give them an A plus for that because they lost the two main starters. We lost our two main starters, our two big guns, and we still had a very good ERA. So I mean, for that time frame, maybe an A plus, but you know, at the end of the day, B, because we need those two big guys. We need Mad Max and Cy Grom. You know, you can't give them a real full grade without those two guys being there.
And I know they say, of course, and I'm not denying the importance of Scherzer, but I think the MVP in the first half of the pitching staff may be Taijuan Walker. You know, his success probably is attributed a lot to Scherzer, but you expect Scherzer to do what he's doing. And Taijuan, although he's been good last year in the first half, I mean, he's been exceptional this first half. And I think he's been on the down low, the ace while Scherzer was out, and the 1A ace while since Scherzer's been back.
I think he's played very well. And honestly, like you said, he's been an ace, and that's the best part about the whole squad that we have. Every single pitcher on this team for any amount of time can be an ace on any squad. Even, you know, Tyler McGill, the way he came back.
You like this one, Rodriguez. Look.
Tell me. Jacob DeGrom is going to get another minor league rehab start. Terzio, don't get me started. These guys know that I'm going to lose my mind any minute when DeGrom comes back, because I even called it before they said that he had muscle soreness. Didn't I tell you guys this? I said it on our chats. I said DeGrom is going to come up with something silly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's get.
He strained his coffee anus. But we have some breaking news.
Oh, what's the breaking news?
Frank came. Farachi gave us some details, but Frank broke it first. The Mets made a trade with the Pittsburgh Pirates. And
we're not going to get that fat dude.
I don't know why we did this.
Why are we getting this Daniel Vogelbach from the Pirates Mets for Colin Holderman straight up? All right, you know what? That's not a bad trade. I don't really, because honestly, I don't care. We need another bat, but this guy's like a 240 hitter who can't run. What does he do?
Right.
I mean, you know, why would you get him and get rid of Dominic Smith? But I mean, it's kind of like tit for tat. Whatever. Anyway,
so let's just give some quick information on him. He's 29 years old. He's under control until 2025. I'm not sure how good that is, to be honest.
Get rid of him right now.
This year, to date, batting .228 with a .338 on base percentage, 12 home runs, 34 ribbies.
Oh my God.
Last year with Milwaukee, he batted in 93 games, .219, 9 home runs, 24 ribbies with a .349.
Impressive.
I don't understand this.
Let's give him a pitcher for him. We need arms. Let's give him a pitcher for a guy that bats .218, .220. Why you interrupt that show for this, Farachi? Huh? Why do you do this? I'm looking at you right in your face. I'm telling you, don't interrupt that show for this crap. This is a terrible trade. Nah, it's not really. It is what it is. I'm just joking. But it to me, it doesn't seem like a big deal.
Hey, either George, way,
LFGM.
Either way,
either LFGM. Way we got. Either way, we got him to play first base when Don Smith gets traded or gets sent to Boston. That's coming up soon, anyway. So at the end of the day, we have a pretty good team. Where we'll stay an overall grade of B or whatever that team is on there. Give me that lefty batter from Washington. Okay, George. Sure. Okay.
No problem.
There it is. There it is, buddy. It's right there in front of you. We have a pretty good team, a solid B. Let's talk about our manager. Are we this good a team without this guy, man? I'm telling you that this guy that we have right now managing our team, Mr. Buck, is an A, at least A plus. It's one of the few times that that I feel secure that we have a baseball mind that can actually beat the other manager at calling the game or making moves or doing something. And a lot of his moves are pretty good, dude. A lot of his moves are pretty good. And he does different things. And I like that. I like when he keeps his players on their toes and just changing things up. And they seem to love him. I mean, let's be real here. They seem to love this guy. And if you love your manager, you're going to play for him. You know, it's going to be a better team that way. So, Buck, A, and just to be a giddy Met fan, back in black today, baby, it's Friday. Just to be a giddy Met fan, let's just say A+. I don't even care. I'm going to say A+ for Buck.
I agree with George.
And the
George,
staff, all of them included.
In the chat, George says Buck is great and he underestimated him. I guess I could say I did too, because I didn't think he was going to make this much of an impact. I think he is the catalyst on why this team is performing the way it is. Let's not leave out the front office, which we'll get to, for making some really good decisions on player choices. But I'm going to go with an A+ for Buck. I mean, the guy is
okay.
I love him. I mean, he's got this attitude, not him personally, but also him personally, but he's got this team projecting this attitude of fundies, winning, never quit. His on-field decisions have been
play better,
pretty flawless.
It's just about play better.
I can go on and on with a list of what impact I feel Buck is at.
Agreed.
He's an A+. I mean, yeah, and like George has also said, the whole clubhouse atmosphere, which goes back to the attitude. I mean, the whole team's approach, so much less drama, which also goes back to the front office, which, again, we're going to get to. But bottom line is A+ for Buck. Buck is
like
amazing.
You're saying, the front office is a big part. A+ for Buck, A+ for the team camaraderie, A+ for the coaching, A+ for the funding. I mean, he's brought a whole different atmosphere onto the team. And this is what I want. Players that love their manager and will run through a brick wall for him, just like in football, like everybody loves. These guys play for Buck and they love him and they love the coaching staff. They're better defensively and they're better offensively. So something's working here. There's a lot of good stuff going on. And it starts at the top because, as we say, doo-doo rolls downhill. Good stuff should roll downhill too. We have a really pretty good general manager. I'd say two of them, Billy and Sandy, however it works, they made some really good deals for us this year. They brought in a lot of good players. They brought in a lot of heart players, guys with great attitudes, great fundies, guys that can play the game and know when to play the game and know when to man up and have a brawl or do whatever they need to do, because you can see it. This team is pretty close. So I see good things for them. And it was done by Billy and Sandy. So I'm giving them a solid A for everything they've done this year. I did not think some of these plays they brought in were as good as they were or would have gelled and done as good a job as they did. I stand corrected. A solid A, man. And the draft. Let's real quick touch on the draft.
Yep.
Solid A draft, which everyone in Major League Baseball is saying. The Mets had a really good draft. We drafted some good players, the catcher and the shortstop. Who knows what we're going to do with them or what we're going to do with what we have currently, trades and stuff. But a solid, solid job done by our general managers. Easily an A for me.
Yeah, let's add to, I agree with everything you said, but let's add to that a little further and just remember Stroman. Let's remember Thor. Let's remember Baez, right? What have all those players have in common? Drama, drama, and drama. I wanted to keep Strowman, but in hindsight, I'm glad we let him go because he is a part of that social media drama, clubhouse drama, 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 and then more drama. We got rid of all that. We brought in some real professional, nice guys, Kanha, Marte. These guys, they have a presence about them. They're all about winning and playing baseball, and they're not about social media and drama. And, you know, let's be honest. Strowman, Thor, Baez, they brought drama to the plate.
They did. It was a little bit more of an internet type of atmosphere, let's just say. Save the drama for your mama, Producer Joe, man. You're dead on right there. Save the drama for your mama. So overall, we're in first place. We're two games above of Craplanta. So we have a pretty good team. We have 69 games left. And if we go 500, we'll still win 90 games and we still should be in the playoffs. Everything is looking good for the Mets as long as they keep things the same or better, as long as we don't stop flopping. So let's talk about flopping. We have one main card coming back, Jacob DeGrom. He's one start away, either in the minors or in the majors. I don't know which one they're going to do. They might put him in the minors for another little tune-up and bring him up. What do you think they're going to do for Mr. Lyris? Because
he looks like
he's
now ready.
He just pitched 5 innings, struck out 10 out of 13.
Yeah, I know, but we have to make sure that his is still okay. I didn't want to say
what. What are you gonna say? I swear, say it, Lyris.
I want to. They want to make sure that his VAG is still okay and he's not secreting any pus, and that his coffee anus ain't strained.
It's coffee anus.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know until he comes back. You know, DeGrom has a really bad rep right now because of his injuries. But let's be honest, those injuries have not lasted as long as everybody thinks. It just feels a lot. It has been 2 full years, really, but it feels a lot longer because of DeGrom. He's been pretty healthy before that. So we have to assume for now that the injury is the exception and not the rule with him. Let's see what happens on this comeback. And hopefully he plays out the rest of the year and into the playoffs and he's healthy. And then he opts out and we have to pay him too much money to be injured again for another 2 years. But we'll see when that comes.
Wow. Keep all that optimism to yourself there, buddy. let's be real here.
Yeah.
Listen, that's kind of where we're at though. We need a guy. So we have a guy like DeGrom who's a little bit fickle, but I think he's going to be back and he's going to be back strong. And if he's the same, if he's 90% of the ground that he was, he's still an all-star. So we have a really good player. I don't know what's going to happen for him at the end of the year. To be honest, it doesn't matter, but you know, we have until August 2nd to figure a couple of things out. And the big thing in the scenario is Soto. On August 2nd, we need to know if we're going to trade for Soto. What are we going to do for this guy? Would you trade for him? Okay, because you know you're gonna have him this year, you're gonna have him next year, no matter what.
So
okay, he's got right. 2 years. So would you trade for him and what would you give up for him? He's 23 years old. We have all the money in the world. We're New York. We can sign him.
If I'm the GM, yes, I would definitely jump at the opportunity to trade for him. But of course, just like anything else, it has to be at the right price. I don't think giving up our entire future for him is necessarily okay. But then again, the guy is, 23, 24? He's already a proven major leaguer, and he's a hell of a player.
Look at what we drafted.
Giving up, I don't know. But so for me, like, do you give up Vientos?
You got to give up something for him. And let me tell you something right now. You have a 23. If I would give up Vientos and I would give up Alvarez for him. And I'll tell you why. Because we drafted a guy to replace Alvarez. Okay. A college player who is a little bit older than Alvarez, but is a power hitting catcher. with decent offensive skills, just like Alvarez. And you don't know what Alvarez is going to become. He could become a great player, which would be great. Well, we already know that Soto is a great player. We already know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean,
it's, you know, you bring him in to come in and play any part of the outfield. He can even play center field. He can play anywhere. Okay, so think about the outfield of Soto, Nimmo, and what's the other guy's name? Marte. Soto, Nimmo, Marte. Or Kanha, Nimmo, and Soto. Oh, Nimmo, Soto, and Kanha. Whatever it is. I mean, we would have an outstanding outfield for the next 10 years because you have to sign a guy like that for that long. So you have a Lindor, you have Alonso, who's Mr. Met, and you would have Soto. You have these guys who will a triangle of superstar players to lead you for the next 10 years.
I'd rather be with the kid that we drafted over Alvarez, to be honest.
Well, listen, it doesn't matter. What would you trade for him? You'd have to trade something big for him. So you're saying at the end of the day that, yeah, you're going to go get him. If the Nationals say, I want this, you're going to give it to him for Soto.
You kind of have
four players? Would you trade four players for him?
It depends. Yeah, I would, but it depends who they are. I mean, like, listen, like I said, you don't want to give up something stupid, but I mean, Soto's you cannot miss an opportunity to grab a guy like this with another opportunity on top of that to lock him up for his career as a Met.
He's 23 years old, right? And he's already in the top 5 to 10 players in the league. I mean, yeah, honestly, I mean, offensively, he's a fantastic player. So
I just don't want to give up a lot of pitching, I guess.
I don't think we don't have pitching to give up. We're going to give them offense. We're going to give them a Mauricio. We're going to give them an Alvarez or the new catcher that we just got. Probably Alvarez they're going to want for him. So we're going to probably give up Vientos, Alvarez, and maybe Dominic Smith or something like that. We're going to have to pay for him. Okay, we're going to have to pay for him with draft picks and with money. So at the end of the day, if Met fans want Soto, I kind of want him. I know you kind of want him.
Yeah, it's a sure thing versus gamble. We're going to have to pay for him. Sure thing every single time. You know,
you have to. You have to. The guy is a solid, solid ball player. And if he comes here before August 2nd, you know, which is going to be a big deal. Please include Lugo on the back. Yeah, Lugi's been pretty bad there. Lugi's been pretty bad. But let's say we didn't really talk about the bullpen. But to make a long story short, I'm going to give our bullpen a solid B because a lot of times they picked up our starters. Okay, and being in the bullpen is a little bit tough. A solid B at the worst case scenario, C. But they've kept us in the game. Listen, guys, we're still in first place. We win a hell of a lot of games. So our bullpen hasn't been that horrible.
No.
Okay, what do you think, Keith?
I was going to go B minus.
There you go. So now that thank you for bringing up the bullpen. We appreciate that. So we get this guy Soto. It makes up the difference for us. And then what happens? We will be ready to take on the Padres and the Skankies, which are coming up, by the way. Anyway, let's talk about the Padres and the Skankies. Padres, we have Mad Max, Bassett, right? And who else?
Four Padres.
Mad Max, well, listen, we're playing against a pretty good pitcher that's going to be coming against us.
Yeah, it's going to be Max, Bassett, and Cookie
Max against who?
Oh, who they're pitching against? So Mad Max is going up against Yu Darvish.
Very good pitcher.
Bassett's going up against Blake Snell, who's having an off year big time. And Carrasco's going up against Joe Musgrove, who's having a great year.
Yeah, I know. Musgrove is pretty good. So, listen, we're playing against some really good pitchers, okay? And the Padres are a solid team. I think they have as many games as we have won, right? I think pretty equal, right?
Padres and Mets? Well, Padres got 52. We have 58 wins.
Okay, well, not too bad. It's still a pretty good team.
Yeah. But I'm going to go 2 out of 3 with this one. I think we can take 3, but that last Musgrove game is going to be a little tough for us.
Why do you think we can take 3?
Because Carrasco is sometimes this super ace and sometimes not. So if the Super Ace Carrasco shows up, we can outlast their starting pitching and outduel them in the bullpen and win that third game. I think we're definitely winning the first two. My take.
Okay. I definitely think there's a possibility to win all three. We have three excellent pitches coming up on our end, but they also have some pretty good pitches up on their end. So if our guys are rested and they come up strong and they start putting their pressure on like they've done the whole first half of the year, if there's still a pressure type of offense, then I'm saying we could take two out of three. If they're laid back and they wait till the fifth, sixth, seventh inning to start trying to put hits together, then we're definitely losing two out of three. So yep. it depends on how the offense comes out. I'm going to be optimistic and say two out of three from the Padres, hoping that's what happens. And then after that, it comes games against the Yankees, the evil empire, the worst team. I don't know. He's pretty white, right? I mean, it's the lighting. Like,
the lighting's terrible.
Maybe he wants to be a little scary. I don't know. The lighting it's been is like terrible. That all year.
A new studio will be ready in about a month and a half, so we'll see how it works then.
Pretty soon we'll have a brand new studio for Mr. Lars over here. We're working the budget out, right, Farachi? And he'll be okay. Nice job there, Producer Joe, to point out his flaws. We appreciate that. oh, my God. It should be. What was that movie that they made with that guy that was white and the lightning Powder. Hit him and almost killed him? Powder. It should be calling you Powder.
Yeah, it's Rick Scott. Well, no, it's because he looked like Rick Scott looks like him.
Rick Scott does look like him. Wow. We're playing against the Yankees. We're playing against the Yankees. And guess who I think will be back against the Yankees? I heard Farachi say that ESPN said that Cy Grom will be up against the Marlins, which will be great for us because we want to see him. We're down here in Florida. We're Florida-based. Put it in the Mets book show.
Let him go against Alcantara, hopefully.
Oh, my gosh. That'll be amazing. At least the Marlins will get some fans. But regardless of that, we're playing the Yankees two games, right? What do you think?
It's going to, you know, obviously best team in baseball right now record-wise. But even though the Astros whooped on them yesterday and they're catching up, I think we could split that series. We got Yawan and we have Peterson going in that series. I'm not sure who they're pitching against. But I think we could split that series. Because we are also.
I get it. So. Yeah, one out of two. I'm with you there. But don't remember that. Don't forget that your powerful power of the Fuakata can make a difference in these games, Keith. So who are you going to Fuakata? What's going to happen? Who
I was going to Fuakata Producer Joe.
No. All the time. See? There he is.
No. Well. It's tough right now. I think I'm going to Fuakata. You know, we're just coming back.
You know, you got to feel it. You know, you have to feel it. So
we've had all this time off. I would like to just, even though we're not playing in Fuakata, the hair flipper, but he's already injured and not playing. So I'm going to Fuakata. Is Manny Machado playing this week? Yeah. Well, he's getting my fuck out of him. Let me see. Hold on. Let me check out the game preview. Who's starting for? God. Sorry, guys. I got to do a little on-air research here. Who's starting for the Padres?
You don't think Machado will be starting? It doesn't matter. Unless he's not hurt, he's starting. I don't know.
Wasn't he hurt? Oh, no. Manny Machado's in there. It was the other guy that was hurt. The third baseman, Tatis.
Tatis, yeah.
So, Manny Machado, I want you to suck like the Orioles suck, even though the Orioles have been playing good. But I want you to suck. I want you to have three games of suck. I want you to be 0-3, you suck. Fuakata Machado, you suck. 0-4, you suck for this whole entire three-game series. Do whatever you want after that. I don't care personally. But this series, you're going to suck. You're going to feel the wrath of the Mets pitching staff, and you're going down, Machado. Fuakata.
There it is. You've been told. So I think we're a solid two out of three from the Padres, and we're gonna split the Yankee series at the minimum. Okay. You've been Fuakata Machado. You've been Fuakata Padres. You will never win another game again until you leave our stadium.
And Frank Terzio is calling him Manny Cano.
Manny cannot.
Manny cannot.
Manny cannot. Okay, listen. We are getting to game time. So we're going to put, as my friend and fellow podcaster Farachi says, we're going to put a little blue ribbon on it, or a little tie a little ribbon around it, whatever it is that he says.
Blue and orange ribbon like on the show.
Put a little ribbon on this thing. We're going to say goodnight. I'm going to say, let's go Mets. Let's beat the Padres. Mad Max, back in black. It's time for us to take control and win this division and let the Craplanta players know, Chris Kelly, you suck. Craplanta players know that we're the best.
Let's go Mets, baby. Let's take it out with the trumpets, Rodriguez. I had to remove it. Sorry. Let's go, Mets, baby.
That was genius. Love it.